4, 3, 2, 1.
Hey, everybody, can you hear the beat? Can you feel the heat? Hey, everybody, can you hear the beat?
I gotta start over, baby. I wrote a song.
Hey, everybody, can you hear the beat? Can feel the heat? Hey, everybody, can you hear?
If you left.
You can't hear the heat. Okay.
All right, I'm.
You didn't want me to introduce. To
I'm starting over.
Do it again. Please.
Yeah. I'm starting over now.
Yeah, because you fucked up twice.
No, because they're laughing. All right,
we'll do once clean.
Hey, everybody, can you hear the beat? Everybody, can you feel the heat? Hey, everybody, can you hear the beat? Everybody, can you feel the heat? Hey, Wolfgang Amadeus, Slap King in the house, snippity snap, cool cat, snip snip snap, snip snip snap, snap. Everybody. What we got here going on here is we got Kalila Kuhn, my girlfriend. Yeah, slap that, slap, 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 slap that. We got Jungle Monkey. Yeah. Gilbert Gorgololo. We got White White George. We got White White.
White White, White White.
Emo doing the whoever that guy.
And then we have a special guest tonight. And I want to get serious for a second. I love this man so much. He's on fire right now. Not because he has red hair. That's just his look. He was born that way.
Hey, everybody.
But my everybody, point, can you feel the heat? Everybody, can you feel the heat?
Yeah.
That's a hit.
We have. Thank you. Thank you so much. We have Andrew Sant. Let me say that. We have Andrew Santino. Everybody.
Yay.
He is. He has a special out on Showtime. Mm-hmm. He also has a TV show out now called "I'm Dying Up Here" with Eric Griffin, the Fat Black we've had on the show,
mm-hmm. and Al Madrigal.
And
we've
Bean
had.
Bean. We had Bean Bean on the show too. Al Madrigal. And I know you don't like when I get racial, so we edit that or what?
What?
Well, I just said Bean Bean, and I just.
Oh
said,
no, you can say Bean Bean.
That's a popular
he said,
phrase.
Fat Black and Bean Bean.
Bean Bean's fine.
Yeah. And
yeah,
now
yeah,
we
yeah.
have this the lead. Are you the lead in the show?
Well, there's many. It's an ensemble.
But who's number one on the call sheet? That lady,
Melissa Leo.
Yeah.
The girl that won an Oscar.
All right. Relax.
Well, you asked.
I've never heard of her before.
Melissa Leo.
You never have.
What movie did she do?
She's from Fighter, or that
yeah,
with
the Fighters where
played
she
the
won
mom.
An Oscar.
Yeah.
Oh,
she's
plays
great.
The mom. She's amazing.
She's amazing.
Bobby doesn't know who she is.
Yeah, but who's okay? Who? What number are you on the call sheet when you see it?
I'm not gonna tell you.
Two.
Oh, he's two.
You have to be two.
No.
Top five.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Is Eric below you though?
He's so big, I don't know where he is.
No, there's a billboard in on New York with just him on it. One of them.
It's the whole building.
I know. And it says, "I said, if anyone doesn't know who you are, if they see this guy on the thing, I'm dying up here. It looks like a PSA for diabetes." And he goes, and he got so mad. He didn't text me back. Yeah, he looks awful on that fucking building. I'd get in a car accident.
Oh my god!
Wouldn't you? With that big head, ugly guy,
dude.
One of the ugliest.
It looks like diabetes billboard.
Yeah.
He's a sweet. We love Eric.
Very talented guy.
He's the best.
But let me ask you something. He's not a model. Male model.
He could be like the before pictures.
Right.
No, you know what?
Yeah.
I'll tell you. I love Griff so much.
Me too.
But Griff is the funniest guy. But like, he's like not. If you don't know Eric Griffin, look him up. He's not shy about his food addiction.
Yeah.
And on set, he made this like kind of like heartfelt promise to me that he wouldn't eat a donut, and I should restrict him from eating donuts.
Yeah.
But I would see him like go buy the donuts. And have like a conversation with them.
Oh no, that's so funny.
I mean, he'd be standing there like, you know, I'm gonna eat you. So at the end of the season, he was like, I'm having my donut day, and I have a stream of photo burst photos.
Yeah.
Of him eating tons. I mean, donuts, plates of donuts.
Wow.
Yeah, he is the sweet guy. He put the craft service out of business.
He is so talented, and I don't know why I said all those things. It's truth, but it's fine.
It's true.
Also, I want to say, out of all the white dudes I know, man, like, I let you You're very funny, number one. But
Thank you. I love you.
I let you get real racial with me.
Yeah. That's because, you know.
Tell me why.
I just feel like there is a relationship that we have that we understand that I'm superior to you race-wise.
Yeah.
And you know that.
Yeah, I maybe deep down inside I do.
You do. And you let it happen because the white man wins again. Mm. And we should always win. And we are always going to win.
Yeah.
White power!
Yeah. But you know, in a race war, though, let's suppose there's a race war. Uh-huh. I think you'd probably be one of the first white people to die.
No.
You don't think so?
No, because I work out. I'm athletic. It doesn't matter. I would do pretty well.
People can see you in a sniper scope because you're a fucking stupid red hair.
In the middle of the night.
Look at the red hair and shoot him.
Get to the red head!
Yeah, but
no. If a race war broke out, I would call up all my black friends. I would call up all the black people that I've ever known and say, "Can you adopt me? Can I be on your team?"
Really?
I'll sell out anything. I'll sell out anybody. I'll do anything.
Would you blow in a race war?
Would I blow a guy to live?
A black guy.
Yeah.
You would.
Yeah.
Head tilt.
What? Yeah, because I was thinking about that. It's like, that's my life. You know what I mean? Does he have to finish?
Always. Come on.
Yeah.
Not inside the mouth.
Not inside the mouth?
No.
Yeah. I'll do it today. Yeah. Get him in here.
Bring out Eric Griffin. Yeah.
Here he comes.
I was like in prison, like if I was in prison, would I? I feel like, because I don't want the violence of rape, I feel like I would be like, all right.
If you had to go to prison for life,
yeah,
you wouldn't just kill yourself?
I don't think so. No.
You would wait it out.
Because I already know that I'd be innocent because I would probably be in prison for something I didn't do. So I would, you know, I would hope that there would be a documentary and stuff about me.
You would hope for that
on Netflix. Yeah,
hope for it.
Yeah.
You want. What's that story? Why can't I think of the Netflix? What's it called?
Making a Murderer.
No, Making a Murderer. You want Making a Murderer about Bobby?
Or the Wichita 3.
Wichita 3.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
With Damien Echols.
Echols and those guys, yeah. I mean,
What do you think you got convicted for?
Probably like human trafficking or something.
That's actually very plausible.
Yeah, that's pretty possible. I feel like that's a thing. I think you could show your penis, like you always do, in a place where you shouldn't, and there's like a new law that you're automatically in prison for life for showing your
penis.
Like
in Singapore.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you could be locked up in Singapore for doing that.
But let's say there's a place in the United States that has that, like Burbank.
Just Burbank.
Yeah, because you can't even smoke in the streets in Burbank. Did you know that?
That's right. You get a ticket.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fucking very fucking nuts.
But in Van Nuys, you can do whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah, no one cares. You can fuck 17-year-olds. I said 17.
It's
18.
I know, but 17's funnier.
Okay.
Because it's like right on the edge.
It's on the middle. Yeah.
How hypocritical is our country that like 18 is such a number for us, but there's states in the United States where it's like 16 and 17.
What states?
There's states where
don't get in the states.
Yeah.
I shouldn't.
Ohio, would that be one?
Well, I mean, you see the kind of people that come out of Ohio, for sure. It's gotta be.
Don't say that.
No, I shouldn't.
You need them to watch the show.
No, I love people in Ohio. Yeah, you're the best. We love you. We're kidding.
Yeah.
I think there is like four or five states. We have computers.
Even marriage is 16.
Yeah.
For some
states, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing. But let's like when
bartending.
Not amazing. But no, it's just amazing information.
Sure.
No. It's information that I did not know.
Okay, now you know.
And that's why it's amazing.
What were you gonna say about bartending?
I think in Louisiana or some, it's 18, right? You can bartend at 18.
Well, like when I was in high school, Wisconsin was still 18 to drink. Mm-hmm. And I think that because people would just go up there to go get blasted. Yeah, I know. Which is so crazy. Oh, also in Wisconsin, this is how Midwest that place is. If you are underage, of any age, like say you're 15, 16 and you're with a parent, if the parent buys you the alcohol, that's legal to drink with a parent in a bar or a restaurant.
Oh, is this in Wisconsin?
Yeah, it's there. It's a state law.
Yeah.
So if your mom and dad went out to dinner with you and you're 16 years old and your parents bought you the beer with the meal, you're allowed to have it.
Yeah, but also who lives in Wisconsin?
Really good people that I really want to listen to.
Ed Gein?
Yes.
Who's from there?
Yes.
Making that's a Murderer.
Jeffrey Dahmer.
Good guy.
Most of his eating.
Yeah.
He did most of his eating there.
Tell me another person that was able to put people in walls. That's a good talent.
What's his name?
William H. Macy?
No. Who's that one? The clown serial killer.
Gacy.
Oh, John Wayne Gacy.
John Wayne Gacy. Yeah.
So great. I'm a fan of all these guys.
What's great about him is
he wasn't the originator of all those putting people inside walls.
But he is the originator of doing it where his mom's living in the house.
Yeah, he did it with family. That's even more. That's, yeah, that's crazy.
That's fucking great. Yeah. That's craftsmanship.
Come down for dinner. 1 second. Spackling a body.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But yeah, what I'm wondering is that you don't smell it, lady? Mm. I mean, there's like 30 bodies in the house.
You know what it is? You know what it is? It's like a Bates Motel, you know? Where like they know what's going on, but it's like you just pretend to not know. Did you ever have a friend in high school? Did you guys have a friend in high school or when you were young that like they're like, oh, you can drink and party at that house, and the parents were like fake oblivious?
Yeah,
it was bullshit. They knew. Yeah, they were just like, what's going on up there? It's like, we're smoking pot. There's no way your mom doesn't smell pot.
When I was in high school in Rancho Bernardo, there was a lady named Lucy, mm-hmm. and she had like 3 babies. But she also had a meth lab. That's where I got my meth.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah.
And I used to go there and wait for my meth. And I'd see babies just crawling around like the meth lab. Like, it was crazy.
That wasn't a moment of clarity for you?
No. That's not my bottom. That's Lucy's bottom, maybe.
Babies weren't it?
No.
No, that's
not my babies.
Yeah, who cares?
Yeah.
Yeah, those are just things. Yeah, get rid of them.
You know?
And she sold you meth, and then you got a baby. You get meth and a baby.
Yeah, you get a meth, yeah.
Like at the weed store, they give you a free joint. You get a baby with a child.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But they were cute white babies, I remember, too. I felt bad about it.
What's the cutest race of baby?
Black babies. Oh, the cutest.
Girls always say black babies.
You think Asian, right?
I do think Asian babies.
Asian is second. Very close second.
See, girls always say black babies.
Yeah.
I've always thought Asian babies are the cutest. And then, you know, then they grow up.
Yeah.
If you could just keep them that way.
I understand that. But the thing is that what you don't realize is that...
You look like a baby that you just... that they inflated. A blow up baby.
I'm a blow up baby. That's really good.
Like a bike pump.
That's really good.
Black babies. Girls always say black babies.
Yeah.
Because they are. They're
Asians are pretty close though, because they're just very. We overfeed them when they're young. We're just really round.
Round.
We like them round.
That's why I love that. But white babies are the ugliest thing. 90% of white babies are gross looking.
Yeah.
Because they're too like ghastly looking.
Look like presidents to me. That looks like Harry S. Truman.
They do look like little presidents.
Yeah, like exactly. Not even like,
because they're bald. They're bald. Their eyes are big. And they look like presidents.
Yeah,
white babies are presidents.
White babies are. I've never held a baby
except
myself.
For C-section babies. They always come out looking perfect. I hate it.
Why? Yeah, they do.
Actually, I don't hate it, but I'm just saying they're perfect.
Let me ask you about
if it comes out through the vaginal canal. The head's all deformed, mm-hmm. and you know they look all just
C-section.
Weird for a few days.
Your C-section baby,
big head though. C-section baby.
Yeah, but that's your race.
It's deformed.
No, that's your race.
That's your Filipino race.
Yeah, yeah.
The head doesn't stay deformed. It's just a momentary, like, as it comes out.
I'm not
out
being racist, but that's just where you're from.
The country of origin.
I mean, you would have blown... Yeah. I mean, I would have felt sorry for your mom if she had to birth that head.
No, two babies. Yeah. C-sections,
One of the babies had two heads. That was a big issue.
Yeah. I mean, is her vagina even normal now?
No,
what?
C-section.
Because on the tummy, man.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. My bad.
He doesn't know what a
tampon is. See, that's what I was asking. I don't even know what... C-section is where they put a hole in the tummy and they pull it out that way? Why don't they do it the other way?
Because sometimes the mom isn't able to birth a normal birth.
No.
This conversation is happening also with a parent and a 6-year-old somewhere in the United States.
Why don't they do it the other way?
Same parallel.
Grow up now.
You're gonna do a callback because I did the thing
I
with
love
your head.
That. That's such
because
a
of your head thing. Now you're gonna do a callback to Andrew's show.
I have to do a callback to that.
All right, that's fine. I'm gonna let you have one callback.
Thank you. One callback.
Jesus Christ,
Jessica.
What?
Jessica on your coffee.
Yeah,
your,
because my girlfriend got me the coffee and Jessica bought it.
I know.
Jessica's her friend.
My best
friend.
Oh, I thought you did that. You said your name was Jessica.
He has no. my best friends doing errands.
What do you say when you get called? What do you say your name is? Do you say Bobby?
Sometimes I don't know.
What do you use? What's your go-to?
I'll say something that they can't even write. I go tut tut. Yeah. And they'll go what? Tut tut.
And as they start writing it, you're like, "There's an accent over the ook."
Yeah.
You're not doing it right.
Yeah, ZTU. And they go what? I do weird names. Or you do Andrew, right?
I don't support corporate coffee.
Are you? Excuse me.
No, I'm just kidding.
Are you getting famous now?
Oh my God.
You know, it's one of those things where.
No, do you feel it?
Yes.
No. No. Do you feel it?
No, dude. No.
So you, when you walk down the street, no one goes, "Hey, can I get a photo with you?"
No, you know what I don't like? This is actually something that you know. I don't like it when someone looks at me and says to their friend or goes, and then a friend goes, Oh, yeah. I can hear them do that.
Yeah.
Right. I've had that happen.
If any, you have to have that all the time. If anything, just come up to me and just go, hey, man, whatever, say whatever you got to say, and then leave. There's nothing more uncomfortable than I see someone staring at my face.
Yeah.
And going, is that?
Yeah.
It's so weird.
I've had this before. Is that what? Yeah, this is that. And then you see their face go like this. Like they're angry about it, right? And you're like, what did I do? What did you see me in that you didn't like? You know? But you can't even do that because that's not even open. So you just see like that
negativity.
Yeah, negativity.
I always, after his shows, when I go on the road with him and I go to the women's bathroom after your shows and I hear them giving their assessments.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
And I can't say anything. I can't fucking be like, shut up, bitch.
Can you record that?
I mean, I should.
No. Oh, that's such great material.
I know, but I can't handle it.
He can't handle
Why?
That.
Why?
I just think that if they're there, and especially if I thought I did a good show.
But you know you did a good show.
I understand that, but I still, you know, I take things personally, man.
Dude, you can't.
But
these
do
people,
you?
No, I don't take any, I don't care.
You really, you're like Ari in that way.
I don't read reviews. I don't listen to that stuff. Like the cast on our show, they're all upset by some of these reviews. I can't read that stuff. Why do I care what one guy thinks? That's so weird to like give credit to somebody that's like one person that's like, here's my assessment. Dude, you could be the most acclaimed journalist. I don't know why I care. Why would I care?
Yeah.
If a bunch of other people are like, I hate it too, I'll be like, no, that's a bummer. But that would more affect me in a community more than one person typing an article.
What about this though? Because I know a guy who did a movie. It got 0% on Rotten Tomatoes.
That's almost awesome. That's almost impossible to do.
That's legendary.
That's legendary.
Well, who is it?
I can't tell you.
Come on.
No.
0%.
0%.
Yeah, zero. Is there a movie that's ever gotten zero? I thought that was not a
thing.
Well, his did. You know, if you look it up, it did. Yeah.
Wait, he wrote, directed all that stuff for
him? I think he did write it, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Because in my head, and
just
he's
give him
1%. Very talented guy.
Yeah.
Very talented. He's like one of the best.
He just made a bad movie.
I understand that, but I think that was his first real lead in a real studio thing.
Oh, it was like, oh my God.
Yeah, and then that happened. They had real people in it. And
it affected him a lot, huh?
I don't know.
The negativity?
It doesn't seem like it did, but I'm just saying that if it happened to me,
that would destroy
I'd probably
you.
Disappear for a year.
Yeah.
And just to rework what I'm going to do with my life.
Wow.
Right? You wouldn't be like that?
No, man. I made a shitty sitcom called Mixology that people like fucking dumped on. Constantly.
I read for your part.
Did you really?
Yeah.
I've read so many scripts on that because every acting class uses that.
Yeah.
Well, here's the irony of bad sitcoms. That show wasn't that bad. It was just another shitty sitcom. But the irony is like people hate them and they dump all over them. But for some reason, people still will talk about them or like it's in the zeitgeist of Hollywood, which is so weird.
Yeah.
Which means it's like it's obviously more affected it more than one that, you know, there's like ones from 2 or 3 years ago that were on for like 6 episodes and you'll never hear of them ever again or not even remember them.
Yeah.
So it's almost like the bad ones are more, they're better.
We have an addiction to bad movies. The Room, Troll 2.
Yeah, you know, I did the mockumentary of The Room.
Oh, you did?
Oh, you did?
With James Franco. It's going to come out this year.
No.
Yeah, it's called The Disaster Artist. Well.
Who plays him?
Wissau.
Dude, Franco does. Can I tell you? The best, he was so good, it was shocking. He put in headphones every day for hours and listened to Tommy talk over and over.
Oh my God.
Dude, when he got to set, it was like magic. He was exactly like Tommy Wiseau. It was like watching him.
Oh, I can't wait to watch it. That's going to be the best.
Dude, you're going to lose your mind. Lisa. And it's Ari Grainer, who's on I'm Dying Up Here, plays Lisa.
Oh, wow.
Dude, when they do the pimple back scene.
Yeah.
You know how the pimples.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Dude.
Yeah.
It was so fucking funny. We did it 100 times because people were like, couldn't hold it in.
Oh, really?
Seth Rogen did it with him. And Seth played like the fake AD or whatever.
Yeah.
And it was so hard to get through takes like that because we all know what's coming. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like instead of just a movie script where you read a script and you're like, all right, we're going to act like this.
Yeah.
Dude, we know what's happening. And you just
and the reason why it's funny is because it actually is real.
It's real. It's
that's
real.
Why it's so, I would not be able to be there. It was so hard.
Dude, it was so hard. But he would break. Like even Franco, who was the best at not breaking, there was a few times when it was like, there's no way there was no way. There's no way you don't break. Like, it's impossible because everyone on set is like wanting to laugh at that.
You know what sucks about that, though? It's going to give... I mean, I love that movie.
Going to give him more attention?
But it's going to give Chris... I mean, Tommy Wiseau a lot of attention.
Well, so here's what's a trip. So Tommy came to set... This is my favorite thing. Tommy came to set. He was guaranteed in his contract to do one scene with Franco. That was like the deal. Wait, that's how... That's where he is up here, that he's like, it has to be one-on-one with me and James Franco.
Oh, my God.
So, of course, you know, Seth and James, like, they signed off on it. They're like, fine, we'll give this guy what he wants.
Yeah.
But, you know, of course, the world of Hollywood, you're like, it doesn't mean we have to fucking leave it in the movie. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
But he was so... this is how in his own head he is, and so, like, beautifully in his own space. At the rap party, he came with, like, five models. Like, dude, I swear to God, he walked downstairs, and he's with all these girls. He has glasses on, and he's waving. He's waving. Like, he's blessing us with his presence. And, of course, dude, it works. Like, it's almost this mind fuck, because everyone rushed up to him. It was like, oh, my God. People wanted to, like, take pictures because you're enamored with how insane he is.
Yeah.
Dude, he was so funny to watch.
He's delusional,
though. Yeah, dude, to work the room is hilarious. I mean, you'd watch him go up to people and like have these terrible conversations, and then he would like leave them like, you're welcome.
Oh my god, it was
amazing. But that the movie will come out, I think they just premiered it at I know they did it at South By, and the reception was amazing. Franco, I think, did so much work into it, and he cared so much about it because he was like, he was in love with the room like so deeply that he wanted to do it justice. So he did scene, he shot scene by scene, like parallel scene by scenes.
Yeah.
Wow. And then the rest of it is us filling in the background world.
Yeah.
So of course I play, you guys know the story well enough. I'm not giving anything away, but I play the idiot that gets his dick sucked.
Oh, you do? Oh, I hate that guy. Yeah. I hate that guy.
It was so fun.
Oh my God. Did you watch it over and over again to get
I mean,
get
I already
down?
See I already had seen The Room a bunch, but I did watch it a bunch. But also on set, they had a bunch of like iPads and stuff to rewatch those scenes that we had to reenact.
Oh, that's amazing.
The next one you guys should do is remake of the Neil Breen ones that we've been watching.
I don't think that's as crazy as The Room, though.
The Room is the top.
I think it's the tip top.
Yeah.
Troll 2 is pretty good, though. It's pretty high
the
up
the dance
there.
Scene in Troll 2.
But Troll 2 is almost so bad it's not fun sometimes.
Yeah.
You know where The Room is so bad that it's funny?
Yeah.
It is, yeah.
Sometimes some things are so off bad that you're like, I don't know. Sometimes it's not. It misses the mark.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
Room scenes that are so memorably terrible, it's because they cared and it didn't work.
Yeah.
So it's almost like if they don't really care and you're just kind of making it happen, it's not that beautiful. But like, he thought it was a good idea to green screen all of those rooftop scenes. Do you know what the beauty is?
What?
He shot on a roof sometimes. He shot on a roof with a green screen.
It's unbelievable.
Unbelievable. He wanted to sub in another cityscape in the background because he didn't want the one that existed behind it.
Crazy.
The details that Franco would divulge were just amazing. The stuff that he learned in talking to Tommy about, like, the way he went about stuff, or the way he chose, like, whatever you think the reason was behind it, completely wrong. You're way off. Like, he did everything in a way that has, there's zero sense,
sense. But that's beyond delusion, right? Because delusion, there are moments where, you know, there's still moments of feeling humiliated.
Yes.
Or feeling like, wow, I let people down. I don't think he has that chip at all.
Nope.
So it's a different kind, it's beyond delusion.
It's like, sociopath? Is that the word? It's sociopathic, right? Where you're like above society. You think you can influence the world. Isn't that sociopath?
Yeah, but
I almost wonder if he's even capable of feeling bad, like, or feeling
embarrassed devoid of that.
Because with sociopathy, it's more like no remorse, right? With him, I don't think he's even able to stir up any emotions regard, because he's just out of this world.
Like if someone died and he would just be like, oh, wow. but it's not a real, oh, wow.
But
he just knows you're supposed to say that.
He should be just that. A case study
he
for
made
all
a, hey, guys, he made a movie.
Yeah.
And it made $1 million.
Yeah, that James Franco remade about his, you know, so he did something right.
That did feed his ego. The fact that Franco wanted to redo it was almost like, imagine him getting the phone call. Oh, yeah. Someone being like, God. James Franco wants to do movies. Like, of course he does. In his head.
If you haven't seen The Room, you have to see it, everybody.
Must watch.
It's a must watch. Samurai Cop is also a good one.
I like Samurai Cop.
Watch Samurai Cop. Samurai Cop.
Is that the guy with hair, right? Yeah, yeah. And he had to wear the
wig and
stuff.
Samurai Cop is one of the best. Please
so
watch
good.
It.
Okay.
It's yeah. so fucking
How old
good.
Is it?
It's 1991.
Oh, so it's not okay. Okay,
it's not that old.
So right. they shot the movie, and then months afterward, they the had poster. To reshoot the movie. But yeah. he had already cut his hair.
No,
half
no,
of the
yeah.
movie, he's wearing this really weird wig.
Yeah. But not only that is that the director goes, "Hey, buddy, I'm gonna do some ADR." He shows up, his hair short. The guy yells at him, "Why you cut your hair?" Right? He's like, "I thought we were just doing ADR." "No, we're shooting half the movie." So then he takes him to Hollywood Boulevard. At one of those wig shops.
And buys a
and
wig.
Like, that one. And he put it on him, and they shot half the fucking movie with that hair. There's one point where he's in a fight scene, and it just comes off, because he only did one take. It's amazing, the movie.
Dude, there's a Samurai Cop 2.
I know, he... because
not a remake, though.
Here's
not,
what... Oh. He, yeah, it is. No, here's what happened. So the guy, they thought he had died.
The main actor.
Yes. The inner, because there was a carpenter on the set with the same exact name. And he had died.
Wait,
what?
Yeah. I swear to God.
What's the guy's name? Do you remember?
Mark. What's the lead guy?
Joe Marshall?
No.
Or Matthew Caretas?
Yeah, that's him. Matthew Caretas, right? Caretas, people thought he had died. And so when this became a cult sensation, people were like, they were in production to make Samurai Cop 2. Because mm-hmm. they thought he had died.
Can I believe it?
Now, meanwhile, he had changed his name and he lived in Colorado.
What? Wait. Was he on the run from something? He was
no. He just decided to he just leave to... LA.
Okay, quit.
Because he was Sylvester Stallone's bodyguard.
Oh,
right.
Oh,
and then
God.
Sly was like, you know, hey, this movie's a hit, and then it didn't happen. So he just left, and he moved to Colorado, had kids.
That's soul crushing.
So his daughter goes, "Dad, I mean, online, I mean, Samurai Cop is getting a little heat." He's like, "I don't get, you know, I don't."
And they all
fuck.
Think you're dead, is what you.
And they
told
think it. You're dead, and then it took him 2 years. And one day he just grabbed the camera and goes, "All right, hey, I'm Mark. I didn't die. You know, so that's that." Right? And then he sent it to his daughter. His daughter posted it. Oh, and then God. It became this revival.
It went viral, right?
It yeah. went viral. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, he's the lead in Samurai Cop 2.
When does this come out?
It already came out.
It came out?
Yeah, but
2015.
It here's just the came thing. Out. Here's the thing with those kind of movies. You can't duplicate it.
You can't. Yeah.
No. Mm-mm. No, see, like, and just the same thing. Like, what Franco does is, it's like, it's a tip of the hat of to the like it's like paying yeah, homage to yeah. Tom to Tommy is really what it is.
Yeah,
he just wanted to show what that world probably was like behind the scenes.
Yeah,
and when you hear the interviews are hilarious. Like a bunch of the scenes I shoot with Nathan from oh my God, what's wrong with me? What oh my God? With from his own Comedy Central show. Yeah, Nathan for you. Why can't I think of his last name? I'm like drawing such the weirdest blank. Huh? Fielder. Yeah, Nathan Fielder.
Fielder.
And
he,
fine.
Yeah,
you're
and
great.
he that was way too much time. That was way too much time. That's it, guys. That's it, that's it for the pop.
Burn that bridge with that guy, bud. He hates you now forever, but it's fine.
He doesn't have he doesn't yeah. have podcasts.
Yeah.
But he but we would just sit there and try to think of how to react because he would do a ton of improv.
Yeah.
And Franco was really good at that. Why don't he's like he would like come out? We'd be smoking a you know cigarette on the curb.
Yeah,
and he and Nathan would be like, "I don't really know what he wants us to do. He keeps saying like more emotion, but I don't know." And he would come out and he'd go, "You guys done with Buddy Fuck Around Fest?"
Do they tape all that?
They taped all of it, oh, all of yeah. it, all of it, all of it.
Right, so they show the stuff behind the scenes.
That's like, what it really is. It's the making, the yeah. making
see, that
of,
you can do.
Yes, that that's what it is.
That's gonna work.
So the only the scene by scene stuff that he duplicated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
there's only so many of them, right?
Sure.
Yeah, but the majority of the thing is like what this world was behind, and they show how many people got fired, how many people quit. Dude, over oh, the course wow. of this film, it was something insane. Like 30 crew members quit because they were like, "He doesn't even pay, and I can't do this anymore." The, yeah. The hardest thing was Sestero, Greg Sestero.
Yeah.
Who's Mark. He is actually like such a cool, nice, awesome, sweet dude who thought this was just a fucking thing that was going to go away. Do you know what I mean? Like
yeah.
he did it and was like, whatever, it was my first acting. How many times you do something early on in Hollywood where you're like, I don't know.
I did one. I did the underground comedy movie that for a decade they did advertisements on the like late at night on Comedy Central.
Dude, I remember that.
And I was in those advertisements. I had to get a lawyer. I got a lawyer
to get out of it.
To get out of it.
Oh my god!
Because he paid me $50 back in the day in the 1997 when I did it, and then it's now 2006. And it's still like playing on Comedy Central.
How much money did he put into marketing to have that run?
Because
all the time?
He Vince offered to, is the guy that say ShamWow guy.
Oh,
right.
Shit.
So yes. He made millions of dollars. He's that. He's like an infomercial king or whatever.
Mm. Is he alive?
He's still alive. Yeah.
Which
so
one
he,
died?
Somebody died, right? Didn't one of them die?
Yeah. The fat guy with the beard.
OxyClean.
Yeah.
But then Vince Offer did.
But Vince is the guy that like bit a hooker's face.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. But Vince Offer remade the movie.
That's so funny to me. Like, did it come from the front or from the side?
Bit the cheek. I think he bit her cheek.
I've done that so many times. That's one of my moves. Yeah. But he remade the fucking movie and he put Adrian Brody in it, which
what?
Did it. That's he a... did it. I think Whitney Cummings did it.
What?
And he paid them a lot of money to
wait,
do
but
it.
Okay, I was just going to say, it's either money or connections. He didn't know anybody that knew them. This was just him throwing money into the
air. But then when he remade it, but then he's like, I'm going to use your scene from the first movie. And that's when my lawyer goes, if we're going to sue if you do that. So then he got a different Asian guy to do it.
Oh my God, thank God.
Yeah.
Is it available on DVD? Yeah. Can I buy it?
Yeah, you can buy. Yeah, but I'm not in the second one.
Oh,
in
you're not?
One, I'm in the first one.
Okay, I need that.
Why?
I just need it for
it's
my soul.
So I play karate and I do karate in it.
I need this
so
badly.
Yeah, I have
badly.
A thick Asian accent. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Do the accent.
I don't even remember what it was. I think somebody dubbed my lines. Yeah. You know who else is in it? Michael Clark Duncan.
What?
Before anything.
Before Green Mile.
Yeah, before. It was like we had nobody then.
What was the budget on this movie?
I don't know. I was living in San Diego. I'm in an open mic in La Jolla. Vince offers there, right?
Yeah.
He goes, hey buddy, hey man, I'm a director. I do infomercials, but I have a lot of money. I go, cool. He goes, hey buddy, you're very funny. I need an Asian guy for my movie. And in my head, since I live in San Diego,
yeah,
I have a waiting job. I just started doing stand up. I'm like, I'm gonna make.
This is Hollywood.
This is it.
I'm in.
So I drove up there. He paid me $50. I was there for days. I remember.
$50.
Yeah, for
that's,
$50.
That was it. You're in Hollywood.
That was it. Yeah. And then.
Cash? Did he give you cash?
What? Yeah, it was cash. But I remember the ego I had when I drove back.
The windows down.
Yeah, no, I didn't get a spot at open mic, and I yelled at the guy, I'm in a movie. I really said that. I'm in a movie. You don't know that? I don't movie? Give a fuck what movie. I'm in a movie, you know?
Just wait. Just wait. You'll know what movie. It'll run for 10 years.
Then I'll later be replaced by another Asian guy.
Have you ever had one of those? Been in a disaster movie?
Not a... Well, I was in a... I was in like a... I've did so many like sketches or student filmy type of things. Mm-hmm. I did this one that I can't get the credit scrubbed off of IDMB. Yeah, IBMD. IBM. I can't get it off of IBM.
What is it?
Yeah, everyone's going to look it up.
What is it?
You can. It's on there. It's called Crafty. It was about the craft service industry.
I just need to look at the
oh,
and I played like the head. Oh, watch. You'll see. Yeah, I think I'm on the. It was this guy. It was this friend of a friend that I knew at the time. He was like, I'm making this thing. And I thought, yeah, okay, I'll do this like little thing. He's like, it's like a little, it was like a web series type of thing. And I thought nothing of it. I was like, yeah, maybe I'll just do it. And to this day, I'm like, can I please email the president?
Yeah, yeah. Is it from a reputable company that did it? Like,
no, it was just a young friend of a friend who's a really good dude, and he's like, since then, obviously done his own thing. But like, it was just, we were all kind of like, no one knew what we were doing.
It's not gonna hurt you.
Well, he's a nice guy, and I love him. But look at, you can see it. I mean, you can even tell. Like,
is it 2009?
Crafty.
Oh my God! Yeah. Look at how weird it looks.
Look how weird it looks. Dude.
Where are you? You're not on there, right?
Dude, I'm the one lifting my arm up. That's me.
That's you right there?
Yeah.
Let me see.
Crafty.
Yeah, you can't even tell.
You can't tell.
You can't tell.
No, I know.
You shouldn't even set it on this podcast, to be honest with you. You should have lied.
They buried it forever.
Well, they'll never find it. That's the thing. There's nowhere to find it.
Oh, there isn't.
No, you can't get it.
Yeah.
That was the other thing. I was like, I sent an email to the Internet Movie Database, and I was like, this isn't a thing anymore. But because he registered it with the union, you know, if you register it with as a SAG ultra low budget, whatever, it stays.
You can't get anything on your IMDb off?
Nothing. If you did it, it's there.
It's wait, you found it?
Where?
IMDb?
Oh, it's, well, that's probably the trailer, right?
It's a trailer on IMDb, yeah.
Yeah, the trailer.
You can see the trailer, guys, on IMDb.
called Crafty, 2009.
C-R-A-F-T-Y.
Let me see. Yeah, it's just a trailer. Yeah. You can't get away from it. It's so sad.
Yeah, but that's not going to, you know.
No, that's not going to, it's funny. It was just a thing I did forever
ago.
Can
I say to everyone, you helped me out. And the reason why you helped me out is with this project I'm doing with Brandon.
Dermer, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm on a new show coming out on Viceland. I hate plugging my stuff. I'm not plugging.
But you
I'm
should just letting, in August. You should plug.
Yeah, but I'm just telling you because Andrew set me up with this. So what happened was my agent called me and goes, it's Viceland, James Vanderbeek. Mm-hmm.
It's their
episodes.
First scripted series.
I go, how
too.
Much money is it? He go, nothing.
Yeah.
I go, nope.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And that's all. I love Viceland. I just, the money was so low.
Oh, yeah.
So then over the weekend, I get repeated calls from Andrew. Mm-hmm. And I finally get a hold of you and you go, you have to do it. I go, why? He goes, you said, it's a great project, but the director is a friend of mine. He's very talented. At least meet with them, et cetera, et cetera. So I met with them and I did it.
Yeah.
This kid is so talented, Brandon.
It's remarkable, right?
He's an incredible kid.
But I knew, well, he called me. He directed my stand-up special, actually. Him and I have been friends for a long time. And
wait, the Showtime one?
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, Dermer did it. And you know, when I saw his rise, like when I knew how good he is going to continue to be, when he said that he couldn't get you, I was like, normally I wouldn't bother anybody, but I was like, I'll put in a phone call because I want that to happen.
Oh, wow.
Because I believe in him so much. Like, most of the time, dude, if someone was like, hey, could you ask so-and-so? And I'd be like, nah, dude. I don't
know. Yeah. I've been
sorry.
I've been
like, yeah, you have to say no, but I'll say no. But he didn't even ask me. He just said, we were in conversation. He goes, yeah, I want Bobby Lee so bad, and I don't think he wants to do it, and da-da-da-da-da. But I told him. He didn't ask me, but I was like, let me call Bobby just to kick it with you to see if you guys can have coffee. And I was like, I'll just do that. And he was like, no, don't worry about it. But I'm so happy that you met with him because you do see when you work with him how good he is, huh?
Yeah, not only that is that...
And the project is awesome.
It's a cool project. And also, as a person, I think I really love him.
Yeah.
Because he's unassuming. He doesn't seem like a director.
Nope.
He almost seems like some kid that works at Circle K. No, I'm not even kidding you.
No, I know.
The clothes, he's so everything. He's so unassuming.
I think what makes him so good at what he does, though, is the fact that he's very much, he's careless about all the bullshit details that a lot of people pay attention to, and he's really good at just being creative. So, like, that's the thing. Like, he dresses and he does his own thing. It's not like he's not in tune with anything of the Hollywood ilk, if that means anything.
That's an advantage.
Yeah. Oh, it's huge. Yeah. Dude, that's why I think he's so good at what he does.
You know how Ridley Scott, someone like Ridley Scott, mm-hmm. older guy, you know, when they're setting up cameras and stuff like that, he probably plays like Rachmaninoff or something, right?
Right.
Brandon plays death metal.
Yeah, hardcore.
But not even just death metal that I've never even heard before, like so extreme that my ears are bleeding. He puts it up to a 10. And just all these producers, everyone just sitting there has to listen to it.
Yeah. It's awesome. Like,
and he's just sitting there and I go, what the fuck is this? He goes, it's just, to me, it just makes, it's calming.
It is for him.
Yeah, I just love it. It's like, I need it.
He loves, there's a group of videos he directed for this band called Necro Goblicon. And you, like, that's like the most hardcore. Yeah, they have this beautiful music video where this goblin they created as like the symbol of the band. You know, the music video has the goblin who takes the most beautiful girl in the office like out on a date.
Yeah.
And of course she starts hitting on another guy from the office.
Yeah.
And you see like the goblin get like sad and you think like, oh, this poor goblin. And then of course in the standard of what a goblin would do, he takes him in the parking lot and just like claws his face off to like hardcore death metal. It's like that kind of psyche that Brandon has, like these moments of like crazy chaotic, beautiful, soft, quiet, amazing, loud, big, huge. He just has, I think he just knows how to ride those waves really well.
And I like also, like, I did a movie about 5 months ago. I'm not going to name what it is.
What's
and the
called?
Director, I'm not going to say it. But the director, you know, I just hated him. I fucking, like, as
was he
soon,
was he a dick?
This is him. First movie he's ever directed, right?
Right.
And he comes to me and goes, you're doing it wrong. He's Asian.
That was Asian? Do that again?
Yeah, he's American too.
Oh, okay.
So let me just do it the way I'm doing it.
Yeah.
you're doing it wrong. I go, what do you mean? I want you to do this. and he puts his hand out like this, like a T-Rex, and he starts walking. And he goes, and he does this accent, like this is. I want you to do it like this.
What?
Yeah. And I go, that's not real.
What?
I'm not going
to
tell you.
No. What was the character supposed to be doing?
Just a regular guy.
Arms up.
Yeah, but every note was like, that's not right.
But you don't.
What do you do in those situations? Do you follow? Do you?
You have to.
You have to. But you know what's so funny is I only hope I can get to a level in my career where you can quit. That
right,
you know what I mean?
Right.
When people can just quit that stuff, I'm so impressed when someone's like, I'm not doing it, I'm leaving.
Right. Robert De Niro did like a PSA, right? And he didn't have a lot of time to do it. It's on YouTube if you want to see it. He does it. Hey, you know, check out this website, this and this and this. And the director is new and young, and he goes, can you do it with more emotion?
Okay.
And Robert De Niro goes, no. And he just walks off screen. Yeah. Like, that's where I want
to
go.
Yes, when you no. get to a point of, no, I'm going to leave.
Yeah, like, because if I was that guy, I'd go, okay, and I'd have to, like, you know what I mean? It's embarrassing, but Brandon, though, has the kind of notes I love because they make sense.
Yeah.
Just listen more, right, in this thing because of the fact that, and then just take a beat. These are things that I understand, right?
Yes.
Maybe you should do it a little faster because we're cutting to this. Like, just things that he's going to do next to fit the edit or whatever.
Right.
And you're like, these are clear things that I can understand.
Yeah.
But sometimes directors are just so vague and you can, there's a sense of like, Animal Practice, same thing. Mm-hmm. This director goes, do the face like this. And I go, I went up to the Russo brothers and I go, I'm not doing that because my instinct's right. And they go, yeah, what you did was right. And they told him, I know that he hasn't been in a lot of sitcoms and I know you've never seen him before, but he's really funny, so just let him do it. So he comes up to me, the director, and goes, just do what you do.
Oh, well, so that works. Yeah. Thank God.
Yeah, I had to do it at that point because I'm not going to be on national TV and doing a face like this. You know what I mean? When you don't need to do it.
Yeah. Mm.
But you know, even like a young guy like you, if you got a show, they give you fucking notes like that and then you have to do it because you have no power.
You also can't say anything back. Yeah. It's not like you go, well, what if I do it this way? And they're like, all right, let's all right, pictures up.
I've had that. Have you ever had any nightmares or no?
No. I mean, I've without saying any names or anything like that, I've had directors that the right away that we both know we don't like each other. In the sense of like, this, I don't,
yeah.
You don't like what I do and I don't really like what you do.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
I've been there,
it's just a, it's not, it's nothing personal. It's just like, we're just two separate entities.
Right.
But that's the worst work. That is worse than a 15, 16 hour work day. If it's a 2 hours of that, that's my fucking living nightmare.
It's a nightmare.
That's worse than the longest day shooting till 5 a.m. all night long. That doesn't bother me. When that thing happens, I can't get out of my body.
The worst is this. You do a scene. Cut. And then you can see everyone in Video Village.
Yeah.
Right?
Chatting.
And they're just doing like... you know what I mean? Just throwing shit. Screaming at somebody. Somebody's crying. Right? And it's your close-up. And you're like... Oh. And you're looking. You can't say anything. But you're witnessing it.
Is it okay?
Am I getting fired?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This was my favorite. When I did... that pilot for Mixology was shot by Larry Charles, who's probably one of the best comedy directors of all time.
I've worked with him.
Mm-hmm. And he was so good and confident that this was my favorite thing. Network, you know, ABC was upstairs, you know, and it's like all these suits, you know what I mean? We shoot this pilot. And this was my favorite. None of these execs wanted to come give notes to Larry Charles. Like, I mean, they don't want to say anything to him, right?
Yeah.
So they send down some poor little kid, poor PA.
Oh,
dude,
my
and
God.
He, oh, dude, his face down the stairwell from upstairs every time was like.
yeah.
He's so nervous.
Yeah.
And we get to Larry and be like, oh, Mr. Charles, some of the people upstairs, they were wondering if maybe are you going to go tighter on this? Are we going to do this tighter?
Oh.
And you would just see him. He would stare at the kid for like a minute and not say anything and then go, I'll be fine. And then the kid would just be like,
yeah.
Okay. And then run away. And that was my favorite way to see a director deal with like a network. Like, I'll do what I don't. I'm going to do whatever I'm going to do.
Do you know why, though, he's the best?
Because I have opinions, but
I know my opinion is this: he respects when he hires people.
Yeah,
he knows what they can do.
Right.
When I did that one thing with the Billy Crystal thing that he did with Josh Gad.
Yeah.
Billy was like, we should rehearse it, and Bobby, maybe he should do. And then Larry basically, because was in The Dictator, and he directed me in Curb. He's like, no, he's just gonna, he knows what he's doing.
That's huge.
You're right? And you're just kind of going, and you kind of go, oh, that's fucking awesome.
Yeah, well, you do, right? you inherently are gonna be better then. For some reason, you're like, oh, well, I'm gonna be fucking awesome in this scene. Just because you're not worried about what 50 people have told one person to like try to formulate.
Yes, that's what it is.
Like, so it's like so much information that you're like, fuck. That's when you're by far the worst at whatever you've done, is when too much is happening.
Also, he doesn't look like a director.
That's my,
he looks like a hobo.
He looks like he looks like a road dog. He looks like someone that lives
on the road. Yeah, like ZZ Top's like guitar like carrier.
He's a road dog, right?
Yeah, long beard,
long hair.
But the way he talks and the way he dresses and everything about him is like, oh,
it's the same way like Rick Rubin. You know how people like look at Rick Rubin and they're like, it's like this weird guru that like just he just like is so unique that you're like, well, he must be fucking good. It's like so on his own.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he was probably one of the best. And I give a lot of props to Troy Miller. Troy was the guy that got me on the reboot of Curb, basically. He told Hurwitz, he was like, you gotta you said Curb, and it got into my head.
Yeah.
The second season of Arrested Development, this new upping.
Yeah, I did that too. Yeah. Through Troy. Yeah.
And Troy was
directed my Comedy Central pilot.
He's the reason that I got over there. And he's another one of those guys that's really, really good.
Yeah,
and
respects
funny people. And yeah. Kind of just like,
I've worked with him many times.
He's like, do whatever you want, man. You're funny.
Yeah.
That's the best way.
I know people don't want like listening to show business talk.
I think you're wrong. I think they do.
You do?
I think they don't have a choice.
And you're gonna get married?
I already did it.
I mean, you got congratulations on me.
Thank you very much. Yeah, thank you very much.
She's great. I met her a couple times.
You know, the only problem I truly have with her is her weight. She's a heavy woman.
Is she pregnant?
No. That's the problem. That's
how long have you guys been together? How long did you wait before proposing?
I didn't even propose. It was kind of like an unfortunate conversation where she's like, we should get married. It was kind of like that. No, I did.
Can we do it that way?
Well, that's how we've been doing it.
Yeah, but just tell me, I need, if you don't marry me by this day, then I can't do it.
I don't like ultimatums.
No, I want you to do that.
So one day I'm just going to be like, dude, let's just go.
And I'll just go, okay, let's do it. Thank you so much for giving me that leeway.
Yeah, that's really nice.
Because I don't know how to do it. Put in a bottle of water, drink it, and get to the bottom. I go, you want to marry me?
I beg you not to propose to me. I don't think I can take you seriously, and it would just be a laugh fest.
You just want it to be, get married. It's just like, let's just get married.
I don't even want to get married necessarily.
Right.
If just one day.
Unless you meet the right guy.
Correct.
Hey man,
shots fired.
How long before?
Well, we've known each other for a long time, and then we dated for a long time. So we didn't even talk about marriage. I mean, what, we've known each other for 8 years.
Oh, that's a long time.
Yeah.
As a couple or as friends?
Well, no, as a couple, but we went through some, you know, the in and outs of coupleisms, you know, like we had that stream of like, I think most people do after a long period of time. But actually we had a conversation about marriage and family and kids, and we were kind of both on this weird, like, maybe do we? Yeah. Do we? I mean, we both were kind of like that about it.
You have
we were like,
to.
I don't know. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. The only thing we knew we wanted to do was not get, I didn't want a big, I don't like. That stuff gives me anxiety.
Me too.
So we fucking went down to Costa Rica with literally our family.
Immediate family.
And we rented this big fucking house and we just partied
for
like 5 days.
That's perfect. Exactly how I would.
I want to have
a
big one.
He wants to have a massive wedding, and it's I don't know why or how. It's
I'm
so
I want to have a big one.
You want to have like an Indian wedding where they come in on a horse?
Yeah.
He wants the horse.
And I'm also going to write down who I invite and who doesn't show up.
Oh, wow.
No, I'm being real. I'm one of those guys.
Really?
Yeah, I'm one of those guys. If I died, and there's a heaven, before I enter the pearly gates, I'm gonna go. Hold up, and I would split open some clouds to see who attends the funeral.
Oh my God.
Like Chris D'Elia was shooting a movie, and he decides to shoot the movie,
he won't be shooting a movie.
I'm just. But I'm gonna be one of those guys. I'm going, okay, that guy didn't show up. Like if you didn't like, and I would wait for you to die. And then when you come to die and come to the pearly gates, I won't even enter. I'll be there the whole time. What the fuck?
By the way you say pearly gates is so Asian and cute.
What?
Pearly gate.
Pearly gate.
Pearly gate. Welcome to pearly gate.
It's a restaurant.
Will you do stand-up forever, you think?
Yeah, I do. I unfortunately think so. I think it's just such a fucking curse, but I love it. But it's also, you know, I think like someone said in some interview I did about the special, some guy was like, what if people only know you as an actor? Does that bother you? And I was like, no, dude, I don't give a shit how you know me. I don't care. If you like what it is, then that's great. If someone says, I've never seen your stand-up, but I love you as an actor, that's not going to bother me.
Yeah.
But I think I'll never get away from it.
Me and D'Elia, when we first saw you, I remember the day, D'Elia's like, let's check this guy out. And we sat and watched you, and we both turned to each other and said, yeah, he's got it.
How old were you when you came from Chicago?
You're welcome.
To LA?
Thank you very much.
Baby?
Yes.
You're welcome, Red.
I couldn't have said thank you because I was going to answer
baby,
her question.
Baby, stop.
I interjected. It was my fault.
No, shit,
it's not.
Dude.
No, see what he does?
All right, I'm going to say it again. Babe, just hold up for a second, okay? I love you.
Ooh, I hate when he does that.
I know.
I hate it.
Were you mansplaining now?
Yes, but stop.
But he uses the I love you
as a shut the fuck up.
As a hush hush.
Yeah.
Oof.
So I remember the first time.
Go ahead.
I remember the first time I saw you, me and Chris D'Elia, and then when you were on, we turned to each other and we said, yeah, that guy's got it.
Thank you so much, Bobby. That means
good.
A lot to me.
Really feels good.
But you know I love you for that. I really do.
Yeah.
Bobby was a big proponent of the comedy store. Taking any sort of liking to me.
When did you get passed at the store? How old were you?
I got passed, what? God, I don't know. 5 years ago? 6 years ago? I don't really know. There was a vagueness going on at that place at the time because I was coming and going because Tommy was a guy that was still there.
That's right.
It was a guy. So there was a lot of weird. The store right now is the best I've ever seen a comedy club ever. It's creepy. It's
almost like it is almost too good.
So is it extra special that you are in a show that's about the history of the Comedy Store?
It was a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
It felt fucking super. It felt like the biggest weight was like on my shoulder. I hated that about it. I was so fucking excited. It was surreal, but I was also like, it hit me one day. I was literally walking to the club because I live in the neighborhood, and I had this just disgusting level of anxiety because I was like, oh fuck, I have to make a show about this place, and what if people fucking hate it? What if it's so fucking bad that everyone's like, oh my god, why would you do that? And da da da. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I was so worried about giving it a bad name.
And what character do you play from the old?
Well, see, the beauty
store?
Is, so it's based on this book called I'm Dying Up Here. It's a great book. People should read it. And it's based on the book. So when people will be like, it's not like the book. It's like, well, we don't do scenes from the fucking book. Like, there's a lot of different stuff. And our club on the show isn't the Comedy Store.
Mm-hmm.
We are based on the world of that time period.
Right.
For many reasons.
But
one
the
being,
woman, what's her name? The Academy Award winner. She's Mitzi.
She plays Goldie.
Which is Mitzi.
Right. I can't say that. You can.
Well, it's
because in case I have to work with her again, I don't want this to come back.
But
to
I'm going
to
say this though is that I'm saying a factual thing.
If it's about
I'm dying up here.
Yes.
Which is about the store.
Yes.
And if there's a woman running a fucking club.
Yeah.
Can you let her in, George?
Yeah, that's definitely you're. Yes, you're right.
Yeah, it's about how did she get in?
Oh, the walker just dropped her off.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's about the Comedy Store.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
No. So,
sorry,
let me ask you this.
No, you're good. But no, let me say this. So that's fine.
Hi.
So all the characters are original, and they're just like based on. So mine is based on quote unquote Bill Hicks.
Wow.
But that's based. Do you know what I mean? Like
yeah.
I hate saying
based,
it because I know comedy nerds are like Bill Hicks is from the South.
Yeah.
My character's from Detroit and all this.
They're archetypes.
Yes, they are. Yeah. Yeah, of course.
Eric Griffin's playing Marshall Warfield. Yeah, just a big fat black guy. Woman.
Hold on, let me grab the dog room.
She's fine.
No, he's over here.
We got to get into one day Eric Griffin's dating life, but you know, he's got to get a girlfriend soon.
I think, you know, he's on the apps. He's on all the apps.
He's on the apps.
He's on all the apps.
We got to get him one.
He's the
because
most...
I cannot because I've known him for 10 years. He's got to get a girlfriend. Just so that I go, he's got a girlfriend. You know what I mean?
To lock it down.
Yeah. He needs to lock it down because he's right now he's playing Morrissey and I can't do it. You know what I mean? You know, what was Jim Carrey like though? I'm Dying Up Here is produced by Jim Carrey.
Yes, if you know that phrase when someone says don't meet your heroes because they'll let you down.
Yeah.
Do you know that phrase?
Yeah.
It's the exact opposite with him.
Cool.
And I mean that wholeheartedly. it was the first person that I met when I grew up like admiring to a level of like, you know, creepiness.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
I emulated him in every way. And then when I met him, it was like he lived up to all the things that I had kind of hoped.
Yeah.
He was nice, sweet, smart. He's kind and very fucking funny.
You can't
like unapologetically funny. And yeah. And he's not doing it to put on a show. Do you know what I mean? Like I never once did I feel like Jim was like trying to do it for the crowd. You know what I mean? No, dude. He was just, his way of thinking is inherently unique and funny. And he was the shit, man. I think he's, you know, I think he's the best, and he contributed so many stories to the show, which is why I think it's a special show. Like a lot of the stories on the show that you watch are his real life, dude. Like two characters live in a closet in the pilot. He lived in a closet in West Hollywood when he was here.
Yeah.
You know, like all these like little weird stories. I don't want to give away any of the storylines, but there's a lot of bullshit that happens in the show that if it seems like a pretty unique thing, it's probably from him. If you watch the show and you're like, did that really happen? I bet you it's his a storyline that he had.
But see, he comes from the 80s, right? The late 80s, where...
Well, late 70s, yeah.
Yeah, late 70s, but he was there during the 80s also, right? Yep. And that was the first real heyday at the Comedy Store, right? So then, you know, he would go up like with Damon Wayans and all those guys at the end of the night, and everyone was there. Like the lineups were stacked.
It was insane.
And it was a magical place to be. And then when I started in the 90s, it completely died. Everyone on the lineup is people that you'll never see on TV.
Mm-hmm.
And it was terrible. And I feel like now, just by being a part of those lineups and stuff, I mean, I'm back on shows because I feel like I'm reaping the benefits generally of what the Comedy Store's fortune, really. You know?
It's like the waiting game, though. You know what I mean? Like, your talent never went away. You were always just as talented, if not more talented. Now, you're welcome. And and yes, it is it's a cyclical thing.
Cyclical thing.
I think now that it's come back, people that are talented are getting recognized more because of that place.
Right.
But for years, there's guys that were super talented that the industry didn't give a fuck about. It's also because, dude, I mean, and I hope this isn't true, but I hope this big bubble doesn't pop. But comedy bubble is so big right now. Like everyone is like sucking comedy off. Like there's a special every week. It's like it's. I don't know if it's too much. It's
a little saturated.
It's a lot.
For sure, yeah.
I love it because we're definitely getting some comeuppance, but it's a shitload.
But you know what, dude? All those things that are hot, not. I've been in it for over 20 years.
No, it's way more than 20.
But and I've had years of just nothingness, and I just you know. The real goal is not to quit. I'm just going to stay in it. And if it happens, you know what I mean? You just got to, I'm going to stay in the water.
But when you say it happens, it already happened. Don't you think it's
no, it's never happened for me.
It's happening.
It hasn't happened for me.
It's happening continually.
It may or may not, but I feel
think
like
about
it
from a perspective of someone who wants to even try to do comedy.
I understand that, but see, that argument never sits well with me because I've made choices and I know my abilities. It doesn't fucking.
Okay, let's put it like this for real. You're not doing stand-up right now in this day and age. The alternate you in another universe.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Dead. Probably.
Okay.
Yeah, but...
So it's not happening?
I know, but stop. What you're saying now with that argument is that I was just walking down the street.
Yeah.
And somebody came up to me and said, hey, I'm Mr. Hollywood. You want to be on shows?
Steve Hollywood or Dave Hollywood?
Dave.
Dave.
That's Steve. I fucking hate Steve.
Yeah, Steve's such a dick.
Yeah, he's a dick. He's too Jewy for me. But what the truth though is that people go, yeah, but you should be grateful for what you have. You're killing it or
I'm
whatever.
I'm not saying that.
I'm just saying, no, what are you saying then?
What I'm saying is I know that I wouldn't be in a position in my life that I'm at right now, which I feel very grateful for, if I was not doing stand up.
Right.
Okay, so I would be a miserable... Of course, you did everything you wanted. You did, but I'm just saying you've already made it because you're making a life doing exactly what you were supposed to do. You were born to be an entertainer.
Right, okay.
Yeah, I guess you win. It always straddles the line between ingratitude or humility. I can never quite tell with them. I think it comes more from the humility side of it, though, where it's like...
It's guilt. It's like this. It's like a guilt you have.
It's a guilt.
It's guilt.
Yeah.
Look at the way you live and look at the things that you have. And not monetary. I'm talking about look at the life that you have. I'm just saying. Do you think you would have this life if you didn't do what you did?
I'm going to show you something right now, and I'll tell you why.
You would be making noodles in some little shop somewhere. You know
Pearly Gates.
Pearly Gates.
Yeah, yeah.
Welcome to Pearly Gates Noodle.
You would be making noodle soup. No, all I'm saying is I think when someone says to me, here, you know why I think like this, Bobby, for real?
Yeah.
When someone back home from Chicago, when like not a friend, but like someone I went to high school with or something, and they run into me somewhere and they're like, dude, I hope you make it, dude. That reminds me that it's like, I've already I pay my life by doing the thing that I like.
Right.
Dude, I made it when I'll tell you when I made it, quote unquote, in my brain, is the day that I quit my fucking day job. I'll never forget, dude. I cried and laughed and I was like manic.
Where were you?
I was in an office on Wilshire Boulevard working for this music company like a desk bitch. You know, I was a desk bitch.
Yeah.
And I got the phone call that I booked this like hosty job that I knew was just enough money for 1 year to let me quit, you know? And it was a guaranteed year. And a woman called me to tell me I booked the thing, and I'm not exaggerating. I threw the phone. I threw the phone and I ran down the stairwell. It was, you know, like the 8 floors.
One of those old-timey stairwells?
I ran down the stairwell, and I'm not exaggerating. On Wilshire, across from like where the E building is or whatever, by the tar pits, I ran all the way down to Highland. I ran as far as I could. I just kept running because I was like laughing, and it was like, it was so ecstatic. I was like, I quit. I get to quit. I get to fucking quit this bullshit. It was so good to me.
Wow.
And I walked right back
to
fucking.
You're right, Andrew.
I know.
All right, but I'm going to tell you why you're wrong. Okay?
After that story, you're going
to
fucking bring the rainstorm?
Yeah, because I went to high school in Poway High School.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Poway. I know Poway. Okay? Yeah, Poway High.
And on Facebook, someone said someone got inducted into their Hall of Fame.
Oh, my fucking.
Just listen to what the fuck I'm saying.
Yes, go ahead.
Okay? And I'm not in it, in the Hall of Fame.
Mm-mm. You want to be in the Poway Hall of Fame?
You know who's in it?
Who?
I'll show you who. Matthew Faye.
Who's that?
What has he done?
I don't know.
No.
He's a doctor and he's also a violinist.
Oh, Matthew Faye.
Yeah. David Goodell.
Oh, David Goodell.
He's a golf goof-off.
Golf goof-off?
A golf goof-off.
I don't know. He made science and business.
Is he part of the Golf Goof-Off Coalition?
What my point is that I have not made it until I'm in this Hall of Fame.
Look at me.
Yeah.
Look at me.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you know what he did?
I stand by my point.
What did I
do? Do you know what he did? You know what this fucking asshole did?
What?
I took
contacted the
it.
High school?
No.
So somebody had written, what, no Bobby Lee, so-and-so, and like tagged him in it, right?
True.
And so some guy then, oh yeah, what about Hector Maldonado?
Who the fuck is Hector
Maldonado? He's a guitarist for some reason.
That kid was always a sweetheart and a talented player. And then Hector Maldonado writes, thanks, Nora, kind of you to say. Bobby wanted to reply to the whole post.
Yeah.
But right? I didn't. I replied to that
to
line.
To Hector Maldonado and saying, what the fuck?
I go, what the fuck?
And then he reads it back to me and he goes, oh God, I put it on the wrong slot. How do you delete it? So he's...
Yeah, we're scrambling. I'm sweating.
Did Maldi ever find out?
I don't know. I think we was on
and
not long
minutes,
enough.
Five
on for 5 minutes.
Oh my God!
Well, he hears it now. He's gonna hear it now.
I don't care now because now he knows it was a mistake.
That's right.
I'm not saying Hector Maldonado. I don't ever heard of you. I'm sure you're famous, great guitarist. I was on a national TV show for 8 years, and I'm on also a national TV show. I guess it doesn't matter, but it's fine. I've been in a bunch of movies, but it's fine. I'm sure you're great.
Also plays the piano. You also play.
I play the piano also, so I can do what you do, but you can't do what I do. But
by the way, playing the guitar is not a credit. You know who plays a guitar? Guys in college. It's not a credit.
But anyway, I'm sure you're great. But I was just saying,
Poway hurts.
Yeah, it hurts me, but I may never get in it. But that's my goal. Now we end our shows. What time were we at now?
Over an hour.
Yeah, because he's so good.
Why would we end this?
We have to end it.
Oh, you do?
Also,
we
just do it over another guy who didn't make it to the Poway Hall of Fame is Tom DeLonge from Blink-182.
Oh, yeah, Tom did.
That guy's not on there?
No.
Then how can you feel bad about not being on there?
I know. That's what I'm saying. I'm making a point. I'm making a case.
You're proving my
point. For me and Tom DeLonge.
Which is you're doing it.
Right. And Stephanie Seymour, I think she should be on it too.
Totally.
Stephanie Seymour, like GNR? The supermodel?
Yeah.
Oh, God, I love her.
I went to high school with
her. You know why I'll never be on mine?
Why?
Well, because I'm not anybody right now. But I'll never be on it because everyone that's on it is a world-class athlete. I went to school with like 9 pro football players, 2 Olympians. They would fucking never put me.
Yeah, they would.
No. Amazing athletes and then goofball?
No.
Goofball doesn't land on that list. No.
Stop. Okay.
Pro athletes, people that played in the Super Bowl.
I don't give a fuck. Because let me say this, all right? What, that's 8 years of a career in pro athlete life?
Yeah.
10 years, maybe?
Yeah.
Most of them don't win big trophies.
Scat.
Yeah, we have
no famous people from my school. I went to a reject high school, but we did have the son of... Do you guys know who Daryl Strawberry is?
Oh, yeah. Of course.
His son went to my high school. That's his only saving grade.
Did he also love cocaine, like his father, or no?
He was a good athlete, but not in baseball and basketball.
See, yeah. Well, because he was really tall, right?
Yeah.
That's like... Imagine what Rihanna's from Barbados, right?
Yeah.
Or like Turks,
Barbados. Yeah.
Imagine that high school. How annoying that is. The hottest girl in the world went to your high school.
Yeah.
No one's on that Hall of Fame, and no one will ever get on it but her.
Yeah. Well, she might even get it if it's like Poway High.
That's true.
That's,
right.
That's true. If Poway High holds true to their bullshit fucking standards.
But do you know why they're not going to ever nominate me?
Because we talk about it now?
No, I graduated from that school 4 years. But the reason why is because all these guys are outstanding in their community. They're good guys.
What do you mean? You're a fucking good guy.
I know, but in high school, I went to 3 rehabs. I got kicked out twice.
So?
But I still graduated from there. I came back and I did it. But I don't think that I'm the kind of image they want to put out there, either, even Tom DeLonge. So I think that's the reason why. All these guys are shirt tuckers.
Maybe both of you guys didn't actually graduate.
I did graduate.
Is
I have the fucking diploma in my fucking case over here.
Did you have an empty diploma?
I have it right here. I fucking bitch.
Oh, you had to go back to summer school.
Fucking bitch. Okay. I've got a fucking diploma in my fucking thing over there,
bitch. But in your graduation, you hadn't actually graduated yet.
I fucking walked the line, bitch.
And you got an empty diploma, right?
Yes!
Popping circumstance.
Here's what happened.
Time out. Is Poway High like a... Is it a notable school? Like you say it like everyone...
It's for wrestling, I think.
We're like big in wrestling.
So you prove his
point. It's a nice.
You want to be in the wrestling school's Hall of Fame?
Yeah. I was on the team, but my
you point, were.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Why when I
do? I was on the fucking tennis team too, bro.
Why when I tussle with you are you so weak and malleable?
Because you're a different weight class, and also you're 20 years younger than I am.
I think it's like a man thing more than anything. It's probably just like a. You know what?
All the things funny. That's funny to you.
Hey.
You fucking nut.
Hey,
nut.
Yeah.
Do you know what it is?
What
it's
is it?
It's me, a man.
Yeah.
Versus
a grow up baby.
At the end of the fucking show, we do a email and they ask a question. We answer. Oh, okay. Are you doing an Eric Griffin impression right now? On the billboard?
Okay, what is it? I have to do what? What is it?
Unhelpful advice.
It's called Unhelpful Advice. They email us.
Okay. Unhelpful Advice with Bobby, Kalilah, and Eli from Crafty in 2009.
Fucking cunt.
Eli!
What?
All right. Hi, guys. I eat clean for most of the week, but always have a day where I eat over 3,000 calories of junk food.
Who cares?
It's a never-ending... It's a never-ending cycle of either under-eating or overeating. I suffer from depression and OCD.
Welcome to fucking life.
And only time I feel good is when I eat. This is not how I want to live anymore. I'm around 123 pounds at 5'3". If the guilt is too much, I make myself throw up or work out like crazy. Help me, Andrew Santino.
God.
Help me.
Why are you reading that? So I have to give real advice to this human being?
No.
Okay, first of all,
unhelpful ones.
Unhelpful?
Yeah.
That's a real person, or you made that? Please tell me you made
that up. That's a real person.
It's a real person.
We get serious questions.
He is, okay, he's 123 pounds, and he thinks he's fat. Mm-hmm. He's 5'3". Mm-hmm. I'm 5'4", I'm 170.
He thinks he's perfectly
and
healthy.
And I'm average.
Wait a minute, 5'4"?
Yeah. What?
With lifts?
5'3" and a half.
Just once, I want to take you to Six Flags so you can't get on some of the rides. No, it's not even that. It won't even be the height. It'll be your belly won't be able to close the fucking thing that comes over the thing. Does this all hurt? I can't say anything mean.
It doesn't really hurt.
I can't say mean to
you give her helpful advice. Helpful advice. That's fine.
He's complaining about bullshit, though.
It's a guy?
Didn't specify.
Can I tell you why I can't be mean? Because this is kind of heartbreaking. I can't be fucking mean. I can't be mean to someone that has like something. Listen, if it was just the depression, you should have stopped there. Because that I can... But someone that has a real eating disorder, that's like deadly. Yeah. I don't know what to say besides like you need to get fucking honest, serious help, and also know that. But to the depression thing, I can answer that. Everyone is depressed. Everyone at some level has a level of depression. I don't believe that anyone's void of it. You have levels of happiness and sadness. I would say read a book called Some. That's a piece of advice.
What's a book called what?
Some, S-U-M. It'll give
Is
you
it good?
It's amazing. Some gives you 40 different scenarios of what the afterlife might be like. It gives you perspective on the now.
Do you believe in God?
I don't believe a person exists in the sky. No, I think
but do you believe the Lord does?
That's a person as well. And no, I don't think it's a man who wears sandals.
Okay.
I think no, I don't believe in a person. I believe that the fucking universe is.
All right, we had Andrew Santino. Yeah, that was amazing. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I believe if there is a God, it's a tiny little Asian baby.
Aww.
And
that's really
and
that's
you
cute.
Get to kiss it on the nose.
Aww. That's a good God.
Then you burn in hell forever after that.
Aww.
That's it.
I have to read this one more since we missed Memorial Day and Veterans Day and we never pay homage to the troops. I have to read this because I'm obligated to.
Okay.
Hey, this is from Grayson Surgis. Hey, Tiger Belly, first let me just... Anyways, my name is Grayson and my lovely fiance's name is Mariana and we're both 26 years old from Savannah, Georgia. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, I'm currently serving in Iraq and Syria and will be for the next few months. Still haven't missed an episode, by the way. So obviously that is difficult for Mariana. With a staunch time difference and taxing mission requirements, it has been hard for me to make her days as special as she deserves. I was hoping y'all could y'all could help me with that. Would y'all please give her a shout out on the podcast telling her that I love her and that I can't wait to be home with her.
Oh shit.
That would be amazing. Hey, thanks for all you do. Love, Grayson. So everybody,
thank you, Grayson.
Shout out to Mariana.
Mariana.
Grayson.
Yeah, Mariana's his fiance and his name is Grayson.
Mariana, Bobby Lee here. Slap King. Killing the game.
Skit-skat.
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 Wolfgang. Skit-skat. My point is that, what's his name?
Grayson.
Grayson and Mariana.
Mariana, Grayson loves you very much and he will be home one day and he will be with you, but he's with you now in spirit. Because his love is forever. Otherworldly. It's based on science.
And Mariana, and that's energy. Coming from a guy who isn't in the Poway High School Hall of Fame. So take that for what it's worth.
Yeah. But Mariana, seriously, he loves you very much.
That's a sweet letter, huh?
It's that was really actually, it was really sweet. You know what? That was the coolest way that could have happened. You know how when someone asks for something?
Right.
And it's like too much and you're like, what? What do you want? Yeah. What do you want?
Yeah.
That was like just a nice like, hey, can you give a shout out? I miss the person that I love very much. Because I'm overdoing the thing that fucking people like Andrew Santino could never fucking do.
You are probably one of the most intrinsically funny guys I've ever met. You're very funny. You're a nice guy. And I'm just so glad you did our podcast. You were amazing.
I'm so happy
and
you guys. I wanted funny. To come on here so bad because I love you
well,
both.
Well, that's why
I think
last
both...
night we were supposed to do it, but we changed for you.
You're
but...
pretty too.
Nice man.
Yeah, but you're great. And...
Can you plug me real fast? So
yeah,
your
what
fans
do you need?
Can watch. Just watch Showtime's I'm Dying Up Here and my specials on there called Home Field Advantage.
Okay, watch Home Field Advantage, Andrew Santino's Showtime.
Yep.
Watch the TV show I'm Dying Up Here with Andrew, my friend Al Madrigal, and Fat Black.
Sundays
dude,
at 10 p.m.
Dude, he's gonna hate this. Sundays at 10 p.m. Yeah, watch my special on the streaming app and all that stuff.
How many episodes, one and two, have been out?
One and two are out right now.
Okay.
Yeah, watch you can watch one and two. My shirt's off in two, Bobby. So you can.
You what?
His shirt's off.
I'm half
two.
Naked in two.
Oh, really? I don't give a fuck. But
lies.
You don't have a podcast, do you?
I don't. Yeah, I don't because I'm not. I would never be good at it.
You would 100%.
No. I don't know how to. Where did you dig up these guys? I don't know where do you
Maker
get these
Studios,
guys.
Maker Studios. He's my producer.
That's amazing. But like, I don't even know how to.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's fine.
George produces show.
If you ever want to do one, George can help you.
I would love that.
But thank you so much. You were amazing, and everyone's gonna watch your show. And that's great, dude. Thank you so much. Give him a round of applause, everybody.
Yay.
We'll be back with cleaning the house.
Yeah.
Okay. Now what?
And we're back with some house cleaning. Really quick, I just want to thank everyone who sent in emails. There were so many emails regarding George's devil breath situation. So thank you for sending all the videos.
Okay, so the consensus amongst all of us, if you guys didn't already watch, there's a Vice documentary about the most dangerous drug on earth, which is scopolamine, a.k.a. burundanga, or a.k.a. the devil's breath.
The devil's breath.
And it's used heavily in criminal activity in Colombia to basically rob people. Now, I wasn't familiar. I am familiar with scopolamine in very, very minute amounts because they give it to people as transdermal patches behind the ear for nausea. Or not for nausea, for like, because my stepdad uses it for motion sickness. Mm. But I didn't know that in larger amounts they use it as that.
Now I'm trying to figure out, like, maybe it was was it somehow in my first drink?
I mean, it's very easy. So in the documentary, they said it's as easy as someone coming up to you, even smelling it is enough, or even blowing it like that in someone's face.
Yeah, because could it have been, if it was in my first drink, that makes a lot more sense why I was so gullible later on. I mean, that's an easy way to
what
give myself an
me,
out.
What scares me the most is that per the documentary, this is a very deadly drug. You could have easily died given a little bit more.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, imagine if we had never heard from you again, George. And this is why I have to yell at you like a mother right now.
That's why I haven't told my mom. I don't want to get yelled at.
I'm gonna send her the episode.
He has heard of this drug. Before going to Colombia, he was aware, but then he said, oh, that's just hyped up news.
Oh, yeah, that's just Vice hyping things up, I'm sure.
Because that's what Vice does.
They hype up the news.
Please.
Vice. Yeah,
they make things exciting.
They're as neutral as we can get.
But they talk about exciting things. It's
cool. It's cool news. Yeah. It's cool news.
Well, you got Borondangad, okay?
Yeah.
I love how it's a verb. Borondangad.
Yeah, and he woke up his own piss. So, guys, if you're traveling
fact
to
check, he came
South America.
If you're going to Colombia, guys, take a second pair of pants. That's all I got to tell you.
But this isn't even something that people use recreationally. It's just not even a fun drug to use.
Just for this purpose.
It's just for criminal activity. And for transdermal patches, I guess. So, George, you're never allowed to travel alone again, ever.
Okay.
It's been decided.
And you're not allowed to hang out with aspiring rappers or DJs.
Ever again.
Ever again, named Javier.
Yeah, but thank you everybody who emailed us and
so
let us know.
So many videos, so many comments.
That George was a fool, but he will never do it again, and he promises.
But he's a handsome fool.
Very handsome fool.
Oh. Thank
you. At least you got attention from some Colombian girls in the beginning of your trip.
Sure, before Javier deceived you, and he pissed on you. MMA Minute with Coloco.
Let's do a quick one.
Really quick, the past UFC 213, is that correct?
Yes,
213 with...
212.
Oh, 212 with Jose Aldo and Max Blessed Holloway.
Also, Karolina Kowalkiewicz.
I can never say it.
Kowalkiewicz.
Kowalkiewicz.
They say Kowalkiewicz and it drives me crazy. No, it's not. That's
how, Anik says it.
KK. Karolina. It was Karolina versus Claudia Gadelha.
Yeah.
And what other fights were there? There was Eric Silva against Yancy Medeiros.
Yes, Medeiros.
That was a really good one. And
I mean, that's the main.
Your thoughts on it?
Which one? Main card. Featherweight title. Two featherweight titles on the line for it to unify it. I was pulling for Max the whole time, even though I felt like, damn, Jose, he's in hometown. He has just so many people supporting him. He feeds off that. He loves that whole Rio crowd.
But that's also a lot of pressure.
A lot of pressure, but...
A lot of pressure to have to perform in your home crowd and not disappoint them. And he had such a thundering loss against Conor McGregor that you kind of want to, you know, you want to avenge that loss so badly, especially in front of your home crowd, and get that belt back. And that didn't happen for him because Max is young, Max is fierce, and Max cannot be stopped
right
now.
He's from Hawaii.
Yeah, and he's just a good, you know, he's a good kid. And Bobby was rooting for Jose Aldo. And in a sense,
Jose,
I was too, because you don't want to see a champion go down like that in his hometown. Yeah. But
and also, I will say that's the best he looked physically.
It was a great fight.
And then also just his technique. Never seen Jose sharper ever. It was like, even when he was younger, he wasn't that sharp.
And he still lost.
And he still lost.
Look, he's still, but
Max,
he's only 30. He's only 30 still.
But he's balding like he's 50. I was like, hey man, you're balding.
I still think he's in tip-top shape. He looked like he was in his prime.
Very much so.
And I would love even to see a rematch down the road, because that was a very exciting fight. And, you know, it just so happened that he got caught.
I mean, he had that first round for sure. Second, Max, you know, picked up some steam.
Yeah.
Even when he was taunting at the end of the second round, Max, I was like, oh shit, Jose's going to knock him out.
Yeah.
But then third, Max just took it to another level. Confidence.
Yeah. But Max is also not a newbie in the game. He's been fighting since he was like 17 years old.
UFC, first fight with Dustin Poirier.
Yeah.
Four fights in his career. Ugh.
Yeah, so he's got those nerves out the way, and I would have been happy with whatever outcome. I'm just glad it wasn't like a 13-second knockout, because I hate those types of fights.
Mm. And then co-main event?
Co-main was Karolina versus Claudia, and it was kind of a bummer.
Yeah.
I wanted to see a longer... I wanted to see five rounds of stand-up exchange, because those girls can really bang.
Even Claudia, too, which was surprising. Even when...
And you remember when Karolina fought Joanna?
Like a kickboxing match.
That girl doesn't bleed. That girl doesn't bleed. She doesn't wince.
No
There's
cuts.
Like, she's almost just...
She smiles the whole time.
Yeah. So I was really looking forward to just watching them go at it on their feet for a long time. But Karolina made a mistake and she got submitted.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a bummer because the fight was short. And we didn't get to really see the full, you know, set of skills that both those girls have, except, I mean, but Claudia. To be fair, Claudia submitted her. That was a very clean choke. Yeah.
She got her down.
Yeah. And Claudia looked so good. She switched camps.
Switched camp in Albuquerque. Yeah.
Yeah, she got good with her cardio. She's starting to play by the rules of a real MMA fighter, and she's not resisting that change, and that's really, really good for improvement.
I would love
for anybody.
Like, yeah, I would love and like two more fights before Joanna, though. I'd love to see that rematch. Yeah. But not now.
Not now, because Joanna will probably fight Rose, right?
Rose.
And it would be a girl like Carolina should probably take after Joanna and probably not change camp, but
Ali Poland.
But look at Joanna. She trains with the fucking best wrestling coach in the country.
Mm-hmm. ATT.
So you just got to tweak it where you need to, because that's the only way you're going to improve. You can't stay in one camp forever and think you're going to stay champion forever.
Unless you're Connor. I don't know.
Yeah, but he's still getting tips from so many different other camps. People, like, yeah. He trains in different, you know. So that's my take on it. Love both those girls.
Great card. Really funny card. Really quick before we go. Did you see Wonder Woman?
I did. Oh, we can't talk about it until next week because Bobby.
I just say I watched Cindy. I cried twice.
Yeah, the opening scene. Yeah.
And then Cindy punched me and said, "Calm the fuck down." I'm like,
because you're a girl at heart.
I was like, Aunt Petunia, whatever your name is.
Not Hippolyta. What's her name? I forget her.
Petunia. I don't know.
Claire Underwood.
Claire. Yeah.
Robin Wright.
Robin Wright. we're gonna talk about that next week.
Great movie.
So
though.
Bobby can chime in on that. If you guys live in Seattle, Bobby and I will be there this weekend. That's the 8th through the 10th, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
So it's something like that.
Yeah, yeah,
like
yeah. 8th through the 10th. Go to BobbyLeeLive.com and look for other tour dates. He will also be in Charlotte, North Carolina 2 weeks from now.
Cool. And make sure you follow us on Instagram at TigerBelly, on Twitter at TheTigerBelly, and email us any questions you may have for whatever or unhelpful advice at TheTigerBelly@gmail.com. If you want your question to get picked, the best way to do it is do a smaller explanation and get to the question, and usually those get picked. Mm-hmm. George, where can we follow you?
George_Kimmel on Instagram.
And you can follow Kalala at all social media at
Calamity K. That's KHALAMITY.
Blue Apron.
It's our favorite kind of food in the world. Oh, wait, I didn't
end
it.
Oh, I had
again.
It. You had it. We had the harmony, man.
No, you did. I got lost.
It's okay. I got lost.